Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Nice.
Like punching the air. I'm so angry. I'm so mad at
Gusto.
You. Still mad at you guys from the last show. Hey, welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Why are you mad at us?
To the Movies Hate You.
Oh. Welcome to the Movies, Hate You show.
That didn't work.
God, it's like...
Can we fix that in the edit?
Not only, I kind of liked it.
Not only is it so bad, it's like unbearable. Like we've just lost 50% of the listeners. But it wasn't even in sync this time. You guys are just getting... This is why I'm mad at you, Todd. You're asking me why I'm mad at you.
We should do a round.
I'm mad at you from last time with that stupid Hobbit movie.
You're still on that?
How was it? Was a guy sitting around eating bread for 2.5 hours?
Walking on mountains eating bread.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a funny... It's funny, you guys were saying I took it too far last time with the smoking the pipes, sitting in the chairs for 3 hours talking about... Oh, what should we do? I don't know. Then I read this week on The Onion, there's an article about how Peter Jackson's adding 45 minutes of Bilbo Baggins packing his bags in the movie. So in the movie, there's 45 minutes of watching him pack and try to decide what to take on this unexpected journey. Anyway.
There's not. There's not 45 minutes. There's like 4 minutes.
Is there like 45 minutes of guys like, you know, pondering like, oh, I don't know, the spider's very big. Should we fight the dragon? I don't know.
No, one's pondering. Shot. They just walk a lot. They walk, they fight, they walk, they fight.
I'm going to the Shire for my third breakfast.
And then they walk and fight.
If you went to see that movie, you're gay.
I'm not gay and I enjoyed it.
Oh, I didn't even know you went to see it.
Yes.
No, that's right. You went at midnight.
Yeah. It was good. Now I'm gonna leave this show to you guys so you can trash the Hobbit.
Hey, Todd. Oh. Yeah, forget the Hobbit. The Hobbit's old news. Now, Todd Sheets, our producer. Thanks for joining us. Now get lost.
We'll
with me is the co-host of this show, the honorable and respectable, the very mellow and very yellow, Mr. Lee Peterson. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's not welcome back because you never leave.
No,
I think there was a couple times you sat out.
I sleep under the desk right here.
And when you sit out, we have 42nd Street Pete sit in.
Mm.
The Grindhouse Authority himself.
It is, yes.
The anti-Tarantino himself. You see all the heat he's taking on Facebook.
Who, Tarantino?
Tarantino and 42nd Street Pete.
Well, Spike Lee. I read the Spike Lee comments about Tarantino.
Well, I didn't read it. What is it?
Well, basically he's insulted on behalf of his ancestors.
Oh.
Now... He hasn't seen the movie.
Well, of course he hasn't.
So basically he's insulted on behalf of people he's never met by a movie he's never seen, which makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
He thinks
it sounds like every other liberal jerk I've ever met. Conservative jerk I've ever met.
He's afraid that it trivializes this slavery.
Oh. Okay.
Movies trivializes slavery.
What it's really about is Spike Lee believes that if there's a movie with black people in it, only he can make that movie.
I think that's what he believes,
It has nothing to do with Tarantino or slavery.
Right.
Did he not like the the Fred Williamson movies, the Charlie movies from the 70s.
The what movies? What are they called?
Well, it's like the Charlie. The Legend of Reverend
Charlie. Reverend Charlie? I've never seen one of those.
The Legend of N-Word Charlie. I know, I hate that. N-Word Charlie. And then the Soul of N-Word Charlie.
Oh, Nigger Charlie.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Damn, now we're going to get more hate mail. I already get the they call me anti-Asian.
They do.
They're because they say I've been cool. I set back Chinese people.
Which puts them where? About 4,000 years ago?
About 4,000 BC.
All right. Fair enough.
Does that mean I won't get fortune cookies this year?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, what's the deal with fortune cookies? They're not even fortune cookies anymore, right? I mean, this is not a new rant. This is, but they're aphorisms. They're not even fortunes.
Here's my favorite, and I have it right up here on the wall of the studio. My favorite fortune cookie of all time. It said, "Wow, a secret message from your teeth."
Okay.
I wish all fortune cookies were that cool.
Yeah.
A secret message from your teeth. Please brush.
Well,
you should say, ignore your teeth and they will go away.
Confucius say, many men smoke, but Fu Manchu. That's the only Confucius I know.
and you have a Confucius in your blood.
Yeah.
This is all you know? I'm
in a state of Confucius. Well, let's get back to Spike Lee, who makes terrible movies.
Well, not all.
Name one that's not.
Well, $24. Modern stuff. I mean, Girl 6 is one of my favorites that he's ever made. Totally underrated movie. I'm not sure anyone said. School Days is pretty cool. Do the Right Thing, Happy Moments. I didn't like She's Gotta Have It. What else has he done?
Yeah, terrible movie call. Well.
Well, here you go.
Most of the movies you mentioned I consider terrible, so we differ here.
You haven't seen all his films, and yet you're saying he's never made a good movie.
But the ones I've seen...
You're guilty of what you're accusing him of.
Well, I never said, if we play... Roll the tape back. Todd, roll the tape back, and you think we'll see. I didn't say that he's never made a good film. I said he makes bad films.
He makes bad films.
Which is true. It isn't necessarily...
But that implies that he doesn't make good ones.
Do the Right Thing is the only one that I could actually watch.
He makes
watch.
Good and bad films, mostly bad, in my opinion. That's what you should say.
In my opinion, his track record is worse than M. Night Shyamalan, or who's made as many films as Spike.
Spike's made a lot of movies.
He's made a lot of movies. Do the Right Thing I can watch over. I have quibbles with it, but the acting is good. I think he's helped out by a lot of acting.
I think great in it, man. I don't know.
Here's the main problem with that movie. The movie is so unrealistic in its portrayal of New York because the streets are clean and there's no drugs.
It's like shot on a set.
But it's supposed to be...
Bed-Stuy.
It's supposed to be Bed-Stuy and it's supposed to be realistic.
Yeah.
I got no problem with like West Side Story. It's not supposed to be realistic. It's stylized. But his movies... He would claim, I think, are representative of real life.
Did he ever say that, or is he just like doing a play? You know?
He responded to the criticism of why there was no drug use represented, for instance, and it was a lame response. It was like I just wanted to show the good and not the bad, or something like that. And well, you know, you're making a movie about. Prison life.
I wanted to show the good stuff, like the rioting and throwing trash cans through the windows and the burning of the building.
But drugs weren't a part of my story.
But I think it's implied that drugs are there. I mean, do you need to have drugs as part of your story?
I don't think it's implied at all. I think it's completely.
It's implied in the fact that it's New York in Bed-Stuy. There's drugs. I mean, that's like saying there's no. Why were there no bars shown? I mean, because nothing takes place in a bar because there's no drugs in the script.
Well, you could say the same thing about a movie that takes place in New York and there's no black people. Say, where are the black people? Oh, they're implied. Everybody
knows
black
people. Well,
they're
there, but it might
there.
Be a story about white people. If you're doing a story about like a certain subset of people, like if you're doing a story, like if Tyler Perry is doing a story and there's no white people in it, then am I going to say white people don't exist in his world? It's like, no, they just don't exist in that story because it's about a black family where there's no white people. That's fine. I can live with that. Mm. Right?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a
concede to me.
I'm saying specifically in this story, didn't that strike you when you were watching it the first time? That, hey, wait a second, this seems kind of comic booky. The streets are way too clean.
Yeah, but look at the lighting in that movie. It's comic booky. I mean, all those movies are comic booky, in my opinion. I think it's like hyper reality for sure. It doesn't bother me. You see something like Girl 6 that really takes his style and goes bananas and even more in Bamboozled, not as good a film. It's, you know, it has its fans, but it's still like it is in a kind of weird reality. I think his stuff does exist. That's his style. It's like saying Tarantino is not in reality because in the Old West this would have never happened. Or something. You know, come on. Like in real life, what Tarantino movie plays in any sort of reality? But you know a Tarantino movie when you see it.
Jackie Brown, I would say, probably.
Not the closest he's come to reality, but it also still exists in its own thing. But that's somebody else's source material, I guess.
True. Which I kind of wish he would go back to. Really? I haven't seen Django Unchained yet. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I saw Django. Is that related to this movie?
I saw Rango.
I saw Argo. Is that
Argo? Yeah, I think so.
Like a sequel to Argo?
Yeah, Argo Unchained.
Argo Unchained. Yeah. That's the name of this episode. Yeah. Argo Unchained.
And Ben Affleck has no right making a movie about white people.
Right. Especially he's about Canadians.
About Canadians. Yeah. Not Canadian.
Right, he's not Canadian. He's not Iranian.
But see, if Spike had seen the movie and was commenting, I mean, to me, he's just an idiot. Because everything, you know, a friend of mine said, the guy's really only ever, only gets pressed when he says he's stupid. Right. His movies never get pressed.
Right. You know what was a good movie he made? There's a movie he made with Clive Owen about a bank robbery.
I did not see that.
That's a good film.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how good it was. No, but it was. I actually put it on TV. I had to go to the theater and see it. But it was actually pretty cool. It was a little synth, kind of applied. The 25th Hour is
good. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like it much. Ed Norton makes that movie. But it's not. It's transparent. It's not. Same with this other Denzel Washington movie. It's not like, oh my god, it's a Spike Lee movie. You know, it's not. It doesn't have that. He broke out of that. It's kind of feature.
It's about white people.
25th Hour is about all about white.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I guess the other one, Five on the Line, is about white and black people. And there's no racial stuff in that. There's a little bit of.
Spike very famously, when the studio was going to make Malcolm X, before Spike got involved, they had paid like Norman Jewison or somebody, some 70s white Jewish director to do it, and Spike threw a fit and actually said that no white man has the right to make a movie about Malcolm X. So, you know, he's been a buffoon for a long time.
Well, they have a right to make it. Should they make it? That's, you know.
Well, but then, you know, if he really felt that way, he's not white. And if what he's saying is.
I think, you know, look, this Django Unchained getting a lot of press, and there's a lot of talk and buzz, and you can't even get a ticket in New York to go see the movie.
Yep.
Somebody texted me tonight and said I was supposed to go see Django. Well, every show was sold out. I had to go see the Billy Crystal movie.
Oh.
And I said, I texted back, my condolences. I really did. Like, why would you go see like Billy Crystal's in a movie in movie theaters right now? That's like that's bananas.
With who? With who's the
probably Jennifer Aniston.
It's a female of his generation. It's not Barbara Streisand.
It might be.
I think it's finally.
Yeah.
Together at last.
Yeah. For those of you that missed Jinx, you know, I don't. Oh my God.
I mean, De Niro and Pacino in the same movie. That was, people actually wanted that to happen. When it finally happened, yeah, it was a bust. But
it was a total bust. It was wow, we waited all these years for this, huh? And then they did it again. And no one went to see it.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell you that movie. But the movie
was... Giant.
My Giant.
No, My Giant was something else.
Was it for the crystal movie?
Yeah, yeah. Oh well, but I do want to see.
Yes, of course you got to see Django. But I think, you know, I think Spike wanted to jump onto this kind of thing, energy that was happening. It wasn't happening about him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when. I mean, that's been his MO since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you'd write them lost to Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, Nate Souder for his career.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, complaining, you know, guy off watching the movies or whatever, can or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think Do the Right Thing is a better film of the two.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't like Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Spader's great, but it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It is masturbation. The whole film is masturbation.
Uh-huh.
So Spike was right. But he's kind of been that kind of whiny complainer persona for a long time. I think he plays into it.
If you say that about somebody else's film, then you're right. If you say it about your own film, then you're being a douchebag. My film was better. I mean...
But it was.
For all, you know, for all the criticism that Tarantino gets, and I'm... I have many, many problems with him also, but I think he's fairly humble when it comes to his movies. Like, I don't think you'd have him saying, I never heard him say, you know, oh, Pulp Fiction was 10 times better than Forrest Gump.
Right.
And it was.
Right.
And it was.
Right.
But he took it like a man, you know? He didn't win the Oscar.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I don't think he said anything about it. So whining about your own movie is just, it just makes you look bad. Let other people say that. Let other people say, oh, Hitchcock should have won the Oscar.
Well, he's allowed to get away with that because he's black. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think he's... I think in the early days, I think maybe he got a free pass by certain white liberals who had a certain guilt.
By playing that card.
Yeah. I don't think that's an issue these days. I don't think people even know a Spike Lee film. Or excuse me, a Spike Lee joint. When it comes out, it's just another movie.
Is he ever going to smoke that joint? You know, it's like Spike Lee joint. Is he ever going to indulge?
What happened to Picture? How about a Spike Lee Picture?
That's because Marty Scorsese has that pin.
Oh, he says Picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
He says it. I don't know if it's on screen, but he says it for sure.
Yeah. I like calling him Picture.
I like calling him Picture.
Yeah.
That's like old school. I still do.
It's a wrestling picture.
Yeah, I still do, man. It's just like Barton Fink or something, you know. But I still do, and I picked that up from like reading like Corman and stuff. You know, people like that generation it was a Picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we made a Picture name, blah blah blah, and maybe you remember it, that kind of thing. I do that. I'm not even trying. I'm not trying to be clever. I talk to filmmakers.
That which I lean is to
distributing stuff. I say, want to make a picture about blah blah blah. It rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah. I still say movie record.
It's so, listen to that. It's down. It's deep. It's pressing. Picture.
Yeah.
It's like Ed Wood would say it. Gonna make a picture.
It's very optimistic.
It's optimistic. Mm-hmm. It's already done.
I say record.
Yeah.
I don't know what you
don't
should
say. Spino disc.
A digital download. Oh, did you know that Loudness has a new digital download coming out?
I'll say,
no, it's a record.
I'll say they have a new album. I'll say album.
Yeah.
I think they're making a new record. Yeah, see, I will say that. Mm-hmm. They're making
a... I guess the Grammys still have the best record of the year as a category. Yeah. Which is separate from song of the year.
Yeah.
So, in theory, I guess you could write the best song, but never record it.
Right.
I can guess.
Well,
I'm not sure how those categories.
Well, wouldn't that be like best single?
Like, I think that's another
single.
That's another category.
Yeah.
I think so.
They still make 45. Did you have 45?
Well,
yeah. So that would be side.
Oh, cat single.
A single.
A single. What a great idea.
Cardboard sleeves.
And then take up as much space as a full length album.
Because the worst part was that you couldn't record over them stuff you really wanted. You know, like if you had a thing, like, you know, you bought an album, you know, one song, and put it on side A. You could literally, if that was the first song, after that you could record like stuff off the radio on the left tape, and then flip it over and you got all the sides to record your own stuff. Mm-hmm. But a single. They did the same thing. They tried that.
Right.
The little
mini CD. Yep.
Remember that? What a failure. Mm-hmm. Remember the early players had the well in the tray. The little mini CD.
Right.
For the
tray. Right.
The CD, and had a little butter in the center.
Mm-hmm. I remember my Laserdisc player.
Yeah. Wow.
Laser.
Boy, this conversation, like, what a perfect New Year, bring in the New Year show.
Yeah.
It's still not the New Year.
Nope, but in a couple of days it will be.
In a couple of days it will be.
The old year.
This is the Let's Go Out with a Bang.
And if
the shows that have aired, if you're, for the shows that Jackalope hasn't flubbed, thrown in a trash can instead of airing, we'll see the evolution of this show this year. This year we broke away from movies, which I love.
Mm.
I changed the name of the show.
We hate you.
Life hates you. Everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Everything. The singles hate you. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, if anything important that happened in the news in the last week, then we'd have something to talk about.
The world didn't end.
Right.
So the world did end for some people. I mean,
oh, guns. There was something about guns.
There were guns. I think we should turn the show into an advice show. Mm-hmm. I really like advice.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's really interesting. I don't think as a subject, I think it's interesting, but as a subject, this is just talked about. Unless you're onto something, you can have a conversation about Spike Lee. You kind of force that stuff. Five or six guys came out.
Mm-hmm. But they're talking about it anyway.
They're talking about it. You know, that's the difference. It's like when we were young, there were like three guys to look up to that did this stuff. You know, Bob Briggs. You know, like three guys, you know, did zines that you read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you turned to a Rick Sullivan for advice.
Michael Weldon.
Michael Weldon. Now it's like everybody's a Michael Weldon. Mm-hmm. Everybody's an expert. You know, 20-year-old guys are like, oh, here's the deal on Greyhound. I researched it. I went to the library in Fiji and found out that the movie was shot on a Thursday afternoon and not Friday, like everyone said. You're all a bunch of jerks. I wish. I'm the biggest fan.
Now, is that a good thing, you think? Or?
I think it's a horrible thing. Hmm. I think it's good in that everyone can have a voice. Hmm. In that kind of idealistic sense. It's bad in that it helps disdefine an industry. No money to be made from this. There's no way to package what we're doing, because if I go somewhere and say, hey, I can write about movies, I get 20, you know, the editor says, I got 20, you know, and look, I'm an old guy, I need $100 to do it or something. You know, I got 50 guys at this guy's school who are all experts in movies.
Mm-hmm.
They'll write for free. No work in 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So just doing a radio show. 100 guys who are movie experts. So, what? How many? You can't listen to them all.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's the stars? Well, the stars are the ones who, you know, are on television or have money behind them or on Sirius or whatever. And that's what we're saying. So it's still a ghetto. It's still like it was back in the day. The zines, if you happen to come across a zine, you know, in a record shop or something because you live near a metro area, fine. But did you have Psychotronic growing up in Nebraska?
Well, I wasn't in Nebraska when Psychotronic came out. I was already here.
Did you have the equivalent of it? Did you have genes. Like,
well, no. Well, I mean, to answer your question, I was already in New York when Second Hunt was, yeah, was happening. So I knew about it.
Okay, but that's
right. I moved out of Nebraska in
old
when I was 20. So
okay, so when I was 16, I would go to the local like heavy metal record. We had heavy metal record shop. Mm-hmm. I would go there, and the bands would make their own zines, and I would get the metal back then. Have that out there. You have
exposure. No, we had head shops. And
okay.
That's where I discovered in like 13 the underground comics.
Okay.
And probably music magazines.
But not,
I don't remember.
Together,
no, I don't remember that until I moved to New York.
Right. That's
why.
I mean, yeah. That's the only exposure.
It was a fantastic shop in Lower Manhattan. Called See Here.
Yeah.
SEDHEAR. See Here.
I used to sell my zines there.
It was amazing. It was a little, this tiny, tiny little place. And you couldn't, there was barely enough room. I mean, every inch of the place was covered with stacks of magazines and fanzines. And even on the floor, you basically had like a strip that you could walk through to the back.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to walk all the way to the back to turn around.
Yeah.
There was really not enough room to turn around. Everything. He had carried the NAMBLA newsletter. This was. I always admired him for that. It was totally a First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It was because nobody else will. NAMBLA is the North American Man Boy Love Association. As if you didn't know.
Right. Of course they knew. Course they knew NAMBLA.
They're,
and you were so happy they
carried. I was happy that.
That's all you need to say. All right, that's it. You were happy. That they carry NAMBLA. Okay, next subject.
It was cool. I think he also carried, like, some Nazi stuff, like some right, you know, some... But the whole idea was that it's a First Amendment issue, and
I understand that.
He caught a lot of traffic.
The NAMBLA newsletter didn't have pornography in
it.
No.
It was I think it was just a...
type, writing.
I think those guys were and probably still are very careful of the law, so I think they've got some good lawyers behind them. They're very careful about... advocating something that is illegal, but not actually,
right.
Because you'd never really hear about these guys getting busted, and I'm sure that would be a huge story. They'd love for the irony, you know,
right.
of head of NAMBLA right. being busted for child prostitution or something, but it's never happened. These guys are good, either good at covering their tracks, or as they say, it's all theoretical, and they're talking about an admiration for the young form or something, and they're not talking about actually practicing it. I don't believe that
for a heartbeat. And I've seen the film Chicken Hawk.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
And they're clearly like these guys are looking for, you mm-hmm. know, and they're classic, you know, delusional stalker type, because they'll go be in a supermarket and there'll be a kid looking at tomato sauce, and they'll go up to them and say, "Oh, did you ever try with the cheese and, you know, the four cheese sauce, blah, blah, blah." And he'll say, "No, my mom never bought that." "Okay, well, have a good day, sonny." He walks away. And then you interview him, and he's like, "Well, we just had this great relationship, yeah. and we really got along." And
he was flirting with me.
Yeah, it just clicked. It just clicked between us. I'm like, "You just talked to the kid about tomato sauce, and he was looking at you like you were a creep. What are you talking about?" You know, yeah. So they're out of it.
These guys are delusional. They're definitely delusional. Yeah. But about the zines.
It's one thing if you want to screw a kid, okay? That's your own sickness, and you live with that, and you do something about it, you go to jail. But then, to have this delusion that these little kids are in love with you or something is even beyond that. I don't even know what that is.
Mm.
I don't even know what kind of mental illness that is. That's like some kind of arrested development in the pursuer.
It's some sort of disassociation, I guess. Oh. You,
yeah, you don't even think you're an adult.
Mm.
It's like a Peter Pan syndrome of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But not as flamboyant. Maybe with money it would be. Like a Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
call in with your questions about
call in right now.
And Mr. Ree will answer them. He knows all that.
But
I understand that. Yes, it carried really weirdo sick stuff.
I don't think any pornography, though. I don't think
No, but I mean, like, Death Magazine, uh-huh. and, the Lotto, the this weird experimental style. And I don't, I'm not, when I say sick of weird stuff, I'm not even talking about the end. I'm talking about like art and kind of project and stuff. Weirdo. Just collecting clips, man. You know, that's a lost art. Montaging on a copier. Pushed out stuff.
Well, you know, it's in a way, it's like our downloading and torrent conversation that we had a while back. It's you know, making everything so available on the internet, and you know, film commentary or whatever, TV commentary, music commentary, making it. Not paying people to write it, and having a million blogs out there has sort of devalued. It's made the value zero now, for better or worse. And you know, we can complain about that, or we can just say, oh, that's, you know, used to be better, but now this is how it is. And there's a lot more information out there, which is great. But you have to wade through it. You have to learn how to understand it. And just you have to accept that it's not, there's value isn't there anymore. You're not going to get paid to do it.
There's no value. I mean, back in the day, like when I was doing my thing, that cost me a lot of money. You had to scrape that money together and make that team. I had to take friends to work, write on the phone, fill it out. There's a lot of physical labor involved. And I learned about printing. I learned about, you know, that process. I got involved in, you know, a trade, so to speak, part of it. But to now just go, I could start a blog in 5 minutes. Really, the job now becomes about marketing. I just don't know. This is not any good. I mean, there are so many. Take Jackalope. I mean, is every show great? Probably not. You know, including the show. You know, like, is it superstars? And even if they were, even if every show was fantastic, then why isn't it being picked up for the unseries? Why isn't it picked up somewhere else, you know? And it's not because of the quality. There's something wrong with everyone. It's just that there's 1,000 guys when you get on series. From other places, from other jackalopes. There's other jackalope conglomerates everywhere. You know? And then you get like Blog Talk Radio, where there's hundreds of people every day presenting to everything. I think what it does is it isolates you from the mainstream. I think if the goal is to have mainstream appeal, I think it's a false economy. It's not only devalued what people do as far as like, oh, people who do radio shows or who train to do radio shows. You know, go study it. You go to school or study to write or study to publish or study to... It devalues those people coming out of, into the industry. But it also creates a false economy of, you know, some blogger with 20 readers trashes your music or movie or whatever you put out. And then somebody goes to Google it to buy your movie and they read this, like, poorly written trashing of your movie. And the person might not even have read it. You know, a lot of times... these bloggers get free screeners from these companies and they just write anything. It's happened to me. Right? People write stuff that's not in the movie and they just say, overall, it was pretty good. Like, I know they didn't watch it. And so somebody goes to Google that movie to buy it, my product, and they get this crappy guy reviewing it. So now it devalues my item that I'm trying to legitimately sell.
To be fair, though, that happens in the, you know, the mainstream media as well. I mean, I have experiences with the New York Times, and when I ran a movie theater, getting films reviewed and then reading the reviews, and you know, I'm not going to name any names, but there was one of the big writers at the Times, a couple of reviews, he made stuff up. There was stuff that was not in the movie that was in the review, and even a lead, for instance, a movie called The Reflecting Pool, which I take great pride in being the this was the first 9/11 conspiracy movie to play theatrically, and I gave it a week run, and because I really believed in it, and we got the Times to review it, and he led with, why did I miss that the Jews were responsible for 9/11? Nowhere in the movie, and you've seen the movie, nowhere in the movie does he even come close to mention it. Does anybody imply it? I don't even think the word Jew is in the movie. I could be wrong, but it's not even subtext.
Right.
But that was how he wanted to portray the movie. He wanted to trash the movie. That's the easiest way to do it.
He wanted to trash it, or he wanted to make himself a hero to the Jews. Maybe he was a Jew.
I don't know, or if you're conspiracy minded, then you could say, well, that's their editorial policy.
Yeah,
you know,
right? To destroy,
trash
it.
This.
Destroy
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
Like, although we don't go for conspiracy stuff. Destroy it.
Yeah, and I learned this firsthand from the marketing of that movie, which I was involved in, trying to get the word out there and everything, and I learned that the worst thing, if they really want to trash you, they ignore you. That's all they do.
Right.
Because that's worse than trashing you.
Right.
A bad review is a review, and people will come see it.
Someone will see it.
Someone will see it. So, you know, I talked to the filmmakers about, instead of, because the liberals, the NPR, they got interviews with NPR, you know, the usual suspects. But I said, what you want to do is you want to go for right-wing people. You want to get O'Reilly. You want to get Limbaugh. You want one of these people talking about it. Even if they're saying how terrible it is that this movie is being shown, you want them to talk about it, because those are the people who wouldn't normally see the movie. They wouldn't even bite. O'Reilly wouldn't even bite. Limbaugh, none of these people. You know, it'd be complete phone. They're just complete phone. This is a perfect opportunity to bite at something that, you know, if you really think this is wrong, then fight it.
But you know how many people bring them stuff?
This was the first movie to get a theatrical release. This is different than some shot on video thing that they get in the mail. This is getting a theatrical release, completely ignored by the press, just completely. And that, you know, that's
too soon, maybe. I don't know.
I tend to think there's more to it. There's deeper than that. That I think, you know, it's always Oliver Stone's JFK movie.
Yeah.
Whether you believe some of it or none of it or all of it. I mean, what the press did, the mainstream press did to that movie before it even came out was a conspiracy. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But this is a movie that hadn't even been seen yet. They were still shooting it.
Yeah.
And Time Magazine did this feature on what was wrong with this movie, based on like an early script, apparently, that was ripped off because Stone didn't even get permission. But you know, it was this orchestrated effort to dismantle this movie, or discredit the movie. So,
you can't deny that there is this. That's a bad thing. That's huge. No, that's a bad thing. But yet, I'm trying to bring it back to this kind of like the underground has really done nothing to. It's funny because I look at a lot of movie blogs. Now is the time of year where you're seeing the top movies of the year, blah, blah, blah. One of these, like, underground horror guys, and blah, 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 and that whole thing, or something. It's always the same kind of movie. They all tell the names of the guys. It's just hilarious. There is no... I think that's really where the economy, the whole economy is built. Because these guys really don't want to see independent films. You know? They want to see faux independent films. They want to see... You know, Lionsgate's Texas Chainsaw 3D, that's intense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they want to see. They don't want to see the guy who shot that guy. That might help. They might have to sit with and kind of say, okay, you know, a lot of crap, of course, but I mean, there are some gems in the world. But people don't necessarily want to go with that. I think they always do gravitate toward, because I think in a blogger who might have 100 or so readers, I think they see themselves as somebody, hey, I want to work for AOL. They don't want to like do this blog forever. They want to go work somewhere big, and they want to do something big, so they connect themselves with that big somehow. So if they give a good review to a Lionsgate movie, then they send that to Lionsgate. So if you put me on your screener list, and now they're getting Lionsgate movies. You see what I mean? Like it's all about, you kind of follow, not follow the money, but follow the intent. Follow the end game of anyone, and question why are they doing this? And you'll see that they're doing it. It's like they're ladder climbing, or they're trying to get something. And there's very few really just sincere people who are like, hey, I don't really, you know, the only person I could think of is like Steve Pachowski. You know?
I was going to mention Steve.
Yeah, like this is a guy who's not trying to, you know, he's been doing the same thing. You know, it's like Weldon, man. He's from that school. It's that, that's what he does.
And he still does it. Shock Cinema still comes out twice a year.
Still does it. Just reviewed one of our films on the latest issue.
Yeah, and it's still just Steve, basically. And,
just Steve.
And
yeah.
His wife Anna helps him, I think, with some of the layout stuff. Yeah. But it's, you know, and he has other people do interviews for him and reviews and stuff. But
doesn't change.
End of the day, it's him. He sits down with that magazine and puts it together.
Yeah, and that's, there's no butt kissing going on in that. You know, it's his opinion, and that's it. You know, it's not. Sometimes it's hard to put this stuff into words, but when you see it in action, you're like, oh, you know, and you kind of follow the trail of. Oh, okay, this person said this about this movie, and then, you know, so what, you know, what a writer will do, like, figure, yeah, I got this blog, I got to do all these reviews. Of course I'm going to go Google the movie and see what other people said and then kind of write my review based on that if I don't have time to watch the movie. So you see a lot of repeat stuff, too. You start to see, like, oh, you didn't watch this movie, you just wrote what this other guy said, or you wrote what the guy on IMDb or Amazon said in the comment thing. Like you didn't have the balls to have your own opinion,
right? And that's how bad information gets repeated.
Absolutely.
So you taken as fact,
even on this small scale, you can see that happening. So imagine on the larger scale, where the New York Times blacks out your movie, and then all of a sudden everybody else has blacked out your movie. So where's the benefit? You know, that's what I mean by the false economy. Where's the benefit of the underground embracing you? I really don't see that.
The only to take an optimistic look, the only thing I can think that this wealth of information could be giving people is it could be training people to be more critical about what they're reading. That's being optimistic, because it's so much harder it's so much easier to find information, but it's so much harder to find the right information, to vet the information, I should say.
Yeah, to vet the review.
But somebody like my son, like my kids who are, you know, 7 and 12, they're already in school. They're doing research on the internet. I mean, they use the internet as a tool to do research for school. And that's already such a world of difference from when we were kids.
Right.
And you had an Encyclopedia Britannica that also had false information in it sometimes, and it was only updated every 10 years or whatever.
It was controlled by whoever's opinion was in charge of it, you know? Like that, you know, whoever writes history
Right,
but that's what I'm saying. I wish that the internet had more of a kind of... There was more of a organic, living breathingness to it, you know? It just doesn't feel like it. It just feels flat. It feels like it's flat. I rarely read a piece of writing that I'm like, wow, okay, this is cool. Wow, this person, you know, like, where's, like, the Lester Bangs of the internet, you know, who's going to, like, review the box of the DVD and not the movie, like, do something creative. Where's that? It just doesn't seem to be a medium that brings out creativity in people in that sense.
I'm sure they're out there. We just don't
know
where they are.
Probably writing about flowers or something that we're not involved in. So I'm sure it's there.
I mean, there's probably some kid sitting someplace in the Midwest or something who would love our show and has no idea it's on.
Right.
So
exactly.
The audience is out there,
so that's what I mean. False economy. Here we are putting in blood, sweat, and tears to do this show or something like that. Every week,
body fluids at least.
Show up. Yeah, every week we show up, every week Pod shows up, every week Pod puts in money to get the show in the air, and it's not reaching his audience because they're 50. Because the guy goes, I want to start listening to internet radio on this movie, and they go, and they got 75 choices of where to get to us on the movie. So one of those copies will win. Probably like a Nerdist or somebody who's got advertising backing on television, or G4's got a movie guy, or you know what I mean? Like it's like Chris Gore.
Yeah.
Or somebody. That those are the winners. So, but they're already, I mean, they're already out there. They've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've embedded already. So that's what I'm saying. If you can't get to the underground, what is it to have the underground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where in the past you had, you know, your Sam Goody's in your town, and you had your one oddball record shop. You knew where to go and what you were going to get when you went into either one.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got 10,000 Sam Goody's and 50,000 weirdo punk shops, but you can't find them unless you know what to type in or it's searched correctly. It just doesn't. You know, it's almost like you have to network more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk to people more than ever.
Which can be a good thing. I mean, it can at least
it can be, but I've seen so much
better being complacent.
Fall through the cracks. I've seen mm-hmm. so many good movies and music that fall through the cracks, just disappear, and then you know, just doesn't have its time. But for what reason? You know, for what reason? I think we're at a point of.
Mm-hmm. Oversaturation.
Oversaturation. Yet it always, if you follow it, it always goes like, oh, this big internet sensation. Well, not at all. You know, there's no, there's just, it just goes right to me. It goes to the traditional stuff. There's no like, hey, this lives here. Like, how, you know, hey, we're all fans of this, blah, blah, blah. And film media is. Make sure he's watching when they never did anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what any of this means. Does this conversation make any sense to anyone?
Call in. Please, call in.
Call in. Call in. All right, call in.
There we need to get a number, don't we?
Yeah, somebody's got to call in and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Waiting for a call.
Waiting for a call. Could happen any minute now.
It could.
You just never know.
Yeah.
Calling
in.
Hey, is that the phone?
Do you like that? I don't want to say.
Yeah. No. Wrong number.
Yeah, wrong number. That's the Chinese food. Right? yeah, so what about the other thing we know is just being guns.
Guns, right?
So, murder or something, or a timber shot or something, right?
Something.
Anyway, some big thing happened. And so everybody blames the NRA, and then the NRA gets up and blames movies.
But
which I think is brilliant. It's video games, and then the video game guys got up and blamed it on drugs, and then the drug dealers got up and blamed it on, you know, South America. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just this constant game being played.
It's funny to me. I mean, it's obviously not a funny situation, but it's funny.
Making fun of
it. It's funny that you know, in the past, whenever there's been a shooting or whatever, a mass murder, the mainstream media has always blamed movies or video games or whatever, but it's been an argument. I mean, not that they've had any, not that it was a just argument, but people took sides on that. Now, this time, after what happened in Connecticut, you know, the NRA guy goes out and says video games and all this. And everybody, to a person, says this guy's batshit crazy. I mean, it's not even an argument anymore. People are just like, are you serious?
Well,
and that makes me feel good. That makes me feel optimistic that people are getting the hint that I mean, something has to be done. Something has to be done. The common denominator in all these shootings is guns. Regardless
of... One of the common denominators.
Well...
Come on now.
Right, they all drank water that day.
Don't be
knee-jerk. Of course.
Now, guns are an issue.
Guns are what he used. Guns are what they used.
Right. But also...
It was the same weapon, guns. Actually. Same type of weapon that was used a couple days later by this guy who...
Oh, I know, the Bushmaster. Yeah, it's a gun. You can go into a store and buy it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a gun. That's like saying, you know, somebody
No, it's a gun that shoots really fast and
yeah.
will kill anything that's in front of you. That's the attraction of it.
Right.
It's not...
That's what a gun does.
Oh, it's a gun. Well, most guns you have to shoot and then reload and then shoot again. Most guns.
Most guns?
Mm-hmm.
What gun do you have
to... Any gun that's not an automatic. You have to...
No, if it's a revolver. If it's a gun with a... Like a handgun, you don't have to shoot one and then reload.
Well, you don't have to reload, but
West, man.
Okay, you don't have, true. You don't have to reload, but you have you. It can only shoot once, one at a time.
Right.
So there's a pause in between.
Yes. Yes.
You don't shoot 30, 50, 70 bullets in a second.
Let's keep
a burst.
Atomic bombs and rocket launchers and military weapons out of people's hands. Mm. I agree with you, but let's not be cliched and say guns. It's more than guns, dude. I'm telling you right now, it's more than guns. Every killer in the last 15 years has been on some kind of psychotropic drug.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. Look at the facts. Columbine, Aurora,
mm-hmm.
this kid in Connecticut, all drugged up at a young age. What do you think that does to you? When you start rewiring your brain at 6 years old, what do you think that's going to do to you when you're 20? By the time you're 20, a life of those drugs. They tell you not to smoke cigarettes. Don't drink. It'll screw your brain up. Don't do meth. What do you think this stuff is? This stuff is not like meth? It's not like...
Absolutely.
I mean, it's insane. This is the factor nobody wants to talk about. No one wants to go against the pharmaceutical companies
because
they're the real cartels. Everyone's going to say, oh, it's a gun. It's the easy thing. I can pass a couple of laws and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. Fine. Less guns can't be a bad thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's really get to the problem. And couple psychotropic drugs with a culture that is obsessed with death. A hypocritical, schizophrenic culture obsessed with death and religion equally. With those drugs and those guns. And recreational activities that involve either watching or participating in simulated death and killing and shooting. What did you expect? I'm not shocked.
I think I disagree with you on that last point. I totally agree with you on psychotropic drugs, and that's, you know, that is definitely something that needs to be looked at. But culture
fact.
Of death, I don't necessarily agree with. I don't think there's anything. Well, we always have been, is what
satanic
I'm saying.
Satanic culture of
but
death.
But we always
founded
have been.
Founded on it.
We always have been, yeah.
Founded on it.
So I think using that as an excuse for what's happening today isn't...
It's an excuse for whatever
like,
happened.
It's like when you say, where were the video games... What video games did Charles Whitman
right.
watch?
That's, yeah, right.
Well, yeah, it's a BS argument. Video right. games have nothing to do with comic books, have nothing to do with
right.
it. Culture of death, I think...
Absolutely.
It's more of a human condition, I think, yeah. than...
But well, we
else.
Have it more so than anyone because we're...
I don't think it's worse now. That I don't think there's more of a culture of death now than there was 30 years ago or 100 years ago. Especially 100 years ago when people actually were doing... I mean, there's fantasy... There's video games and there's movies and there's...
Yeah.
99%, 99.999 whatever percent of people know the difference between fantasy and reality.
Absolutely. And you know what? Every other country has these same movies. We export these mm-hmm. movies to other countries. These video games are played in other countries. You know, you go online and play, you know, Call of Duty, you're playing with, you know, people in Japan and Norway, and you're playing with people all over the world online.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are upset, doing the same thing you're doing,
mm-hmm.
shooting and killing, blah, blah, blah. Where's all their, you know, first of all, the media is getting involved in, to a sense where it makes it sound like it happens every day. It doesn't. You know, there are killings, but it doesn't happen. There aren't these massacres. People aren't going around massacring each other.
No.
And millions of people have guns. So if it was that bad, everybody would be, all these people walking down the street killing each other.
Why?
It's not happening. Because most people, 99.9% of people that own guns are not insane. And this kid in Connecticut tried to get a gun legally and he was shot down.
Mm.
And the guy in Westchester, wherever he was, the fireman killer, a murderer, who was let out.
Right,
jail.
Right. He murdered.
Killed his grandmother mm-hmm. with a hammer or something. Get that out of jail.
He did a lot of time, though, to be fair. I mean, this isn't one of those revolving door stories. I mean, he did 18 years or something. That's what you do.
Life.
That is life. that's life of parole. I mean,
why not? Why not? No,
that's a whole separate issue.
Right. I'm sure the firemen can rush that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different argument. Should there be parole or should there not be parole?
Well, that's
he
part
did
of
his
it.
Time. He
Fine.
Did his time.
What I'm saying is, if this killer, this convicted killer, did his time as mandated by the state, but not by, I want to say, morality, not by human ethics, like that's insane.
In hindsight, for sure. But yeah. what if he had done his time and then never hurt anybody again?
But then, you have to define what is your time. Mm-hmm. If you decide to kill the landlord of your building with a hammer. And
can I borrow a hammer, by the way?
And you do 18 years.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
I'd nail you
back,
in the evening.
And you do your 18 years, so now you're 68 years old and you get out, and they let you out, and you say, love doing it. Screw it. I'm only going to be alive for 1 year. And you go and you shoot up more people. What are you saying? Like,
there are obviously problems in the whole system, and
your time doesn't mean a damn thing.
You would hope that at the end of doing your time, there would be a board of psychiatrists, perhaps, who would take a look at you. No, this is what you would hope, right? I mean, this is probably what people assume happens.
This is the Pollyanna look at the world. You know how the world really works, man.
Exactly, but that's a place to start.
That's what I mean.
Somebody like that should have been. There should have been.
Not about the guns. He got those guns illegally.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. But the kid who shot the kids.
Those guns illegally. Stole them from his mother.
Well, I don't know if it's stealing. If it's your mother, is it? I mean,
sure. It is.
You take $20 out of her pot,
that's
out of her
stealing.
Purse. I guess it is.
Torrance is not
taking money out of her purse without her knowing it is stealing.
Right.
Did she say you can't have these guns? We don't really know. Did she give him access to the guns?
If he went to buy them to have his own guns, that implies that she didn't allow him to have the guns. They were apparently locked up in the house.
I don't think they were locked. That's one of the things people are saying. Why weren't they locked?
Right.
Why wasn't it? Why there was this a bill, I think last year. That would have made a mandatory biometric device on certain guns, including the gun that he used, which would mean that only the owner would be able to use it. And of course, the Republicans shot that down. No pun intended. Well, it could, because here's the problem: is the NRA and certain gun enthusiasts have this real knee-jerk response that whenever you talk, it's like, oh no, anything, they're going to disarm us, they're going to take our guns away, and to me it's like the anti-abortion people. So there's no room for discussion. It's like, it's baby killing, that's all it is, baby killing. Where's the debate? There's no debate, there's no two sides. It's they're taking our guns away. But no, we're not taking your guns away. We're talking about making it more difficult for certain weapons to get into anybody's hands.
Right.
You, sir, who are of sound mind and body and have no intention of ever going into a school and killing people, shouldn't have any problem with it. You'll have to go through a background check. You'll have to give a fingerprint. Mm-hmm. You'll have to do a couple things. You know, the same things that you want food stamp people to go through. But, they're fighting that. Because, they're taking away our weapons. Taking away our weapons. And they're just bozo. You can't argue with people like that. There aren't two sides. I'm getting a little optimistic, because I think after what just happened, you're getting some of those people to open up a discussion about it, at least. And I think the NRA guy did the best thing, did our work for us, any gun control advocate, by being such an idiot and being so upfront about it. And
But there was some truth in some of that stuff. There was, in the fact that we do have this. It's kind of like the powder keg's worthless without the fuse. We have both. So, not only do we have the fuse and the powder keg, we have a pack of matches. It's like we have everything to make this happen. So the fact that it does happen should not shock anyone.
Mm.
But let's look at the holistic picture here. It's kind of like Bowling for Columbine. Where, kind of Michael Moore, for all his fake filmmaking, and these setups and the you know, going against Charlton Heston and all that sabotage, you know, Shanghai'd him and all that stuff. The guy's in diapers.
Ambushed. Yeah.
Yeah, he ambushed him. The guy's in diapers, basically, and he's torturing this old man.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's pathetic. He's a pathetic filmmaker in many ways, but he makes very good points in some of his films. And, you know, here he says, you know, he goes to Canada with just as many guns, blah, blah, blah. Why don't they kill? What is it about Americans? Mm. Go to these other countries. He says the same thing. They have all the same stuff. They have the video games. They have the movies. What is it about us that makes us different? Is it that we're just cowboys? And we're just crazy. Satanic, crazy country. It's a country of psychopaths making stuff for sociopaths. That's what this country is. So you're either in or you're out. Get with the program. Like, it shouldn't baffle you that we're not like Norway, that we're not like these civilized countries that know how to treat people, that give people a decent vacation, that give people decent wage.
You're either in or you're out. You're in time or you're out of time. And guess which one you are.
Take people that take care of their elderly and their children with health care. You know, countries that make sense. There are other countries that make sense in this world. They make perfect sense. You go there and you don't have to worry.
But isn't it true
that... like an animal, the way you live like an animal.
Yeah.
You've got a country of people living like animals, worse every day. They're going to go bonkers every once in a while. It's going to happen. Then put them on drugs. Take all that and then put them on drugs that are not even drugs that are just invented 20 years ago. There's no record of, is this going to work? What does this do to a six-year-old? We don't know. Let's get it out there. We got to get it out there. We get 20 million invested in it. We got to get it out there. Get the money back.
But if you agree, but if you look at the other countries, I mean, the stronger the gun control laws, it's an easy chart. The stronger the gun control laws, the fewer instances of gun violence. I mean, and you can't say, it's because of video games or it's like, no, take the guns away.
But what about Canada?
They don't have nearly as many.
Blame Canada.
As many guns, do they?
Don't screw this up, Todd. This isn't a joke show. Go act like a girl on your show.
Oh,
I'm talking about a serious goddamn thing here. Clown.
Where were you when we were dissing Spike Lee?
Yeah.
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
Of course, you racist.
I'm not at all. I just don't like Spike Lee.
Yeah, you and Mr. Ree agree. Yeah. I like Spike Lee. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Oh, Lord. All the time. I'll hit him with a car.
Now, listen, we have to continue this gun talk on another episode because this is just way too intense and we're out of time because Todd's back from his pedicure, and
I didn't think there was a cure for that.
There's no cure for that.
Oh Lordy!
Jesus, man! No, listen, we're all crazy, man. We're all crazy. This is crazy.
Well, I won't rest until every man, woman, and child in America has their own nuclear weapon.
Because
it's a right to bear arms.
Yeah. I think there's a middle ground of it. There is a right. Listen, this country is invented. We were created to kill. We're here and we killed to have what we have. We killed many different kinds of people. We killed the British. We killed the native people that were here. We killed each other. So, based on killing, we got here and we fought here. So there's some kind of ingrained ethics in people that says, you know, this is, we have to fight tyranny. So if I have a handgun, all right, let's say, I have a handgun right here in my house. If the government comes, they're going to send SWAT teams and guys with these giant automatic, you know, AK-47, whatever they're going to say, and I have this handgun, well, that's no good. I need to have access to the same guns that the military has. If they ever get tyrannical, I need to be able to team up with other people like me and arm. Fight them.
A well-regulated militia.
Yes, well-regulated militia. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that with little pistols.
Right.
We can't go up against tanks with pistols.
It's a moot point.
We need grenades.
Completely.
We need rocket launchers. We need these things. And that's really what it's about. It's not about stupid Republicans, blah, blah. It actually is based in some kind of common sense that makes sense to these people who believe that the government at any moment can turn on them. And the government does do screwy things that make us think that they can turn on us at any moment. And other governments do things. If you said to, you know, Syria, the rebels in Syria, you're not allowed to have arms and go against some of these dictators would never be overthrown. You know, throughout history. So dictators have been overthrown by us having to arm those people because those tyrannical governments would not allow those people to have arms. So, you know, we got to practice what we preach. We do this for other people, but we're going to take away guns from people here. It's all too screwy. We kill children every day as a nation. Drone attacks, bombs, arming rebels who go and kill children with these arms and rockets and planes and tanks. We have so much child blood on our hands. My point is, let's not get so upset over what happened. And it's a horrible, terrible thing that happened and shouldn't have. But let's just really focus on what are the root problems and not just take everybody's guns away. Because that's just as silly as saying give everybody a gun or give everybody in the school a gun. It's just as silly.
But I don't think you hear that. You know, I mean, that's how gun nuts characterize the argument, and that's not what it... I mean, it's... People
well,
aren't talking about taking
many,
guns
I don't
away.
Hear any liberals on MSNBC saying, let's people keep most of their guns, but let's just take away these. Let's take away the bullets.
The debate right now is about automatic weapons and registering and reversing the stuff that the former president got rid of.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a ban on the type of weapon this guy used.
Right.
That gun would have been illegal had that ban not expired.
Right, but he still would have went in there with a handgun.
You don't know.
His mom probably
wouldn't have owned it because it was illegal. Because
right,
maybe she's a law-abiding person.
If he wanted to, like a Tim McVeigh, if he wanted to blow up a building, he's going to find a way to do it. He didn't use a gun. You know, whatever. I understand we don't know what would have happened because everything happened in stages. It's not like I wake up and say, I'm going to get the gun out of the closet and kill people. It's like 50,000 other things go through my brain, and everything's in the right place at the right time, and that's what happens at that moment. But if the gun wasn't there, maybe I wouldn't have done it. Maybe that's the one factor that kept that kid, would have kept that kid from not doing anything would have been like the access to the gun. Maybe. But the maybe goes both ways. The maybe goes both ways. It's not just wouldn't have happened if the gun wasn't there. Don't know. You don't know what would have happened. You really don't.
No, but what did happen is what I think we need to be looking at. This did happen.
What
can we do about it?
Right, but again, it's not gun. What happened and gun. It's not. There's other layers to it. That's my point. There are other layers.
There might be other layers under that layer.
Gun is one to look at, but there's many other layers. Why is an autistic or Asperger's kid being left home alone? For days on end. Why? Why isn't he in some kind of school for other people like him? Why isn't there a school for people like him? Maybe there isn't. Why is it put him on drugs and throw him in the room with the video games and that's it? Is that the solution? Maybe we need to look at that. How do we deal with people who are mentally disabled? I'm just saying, there are many other things.
There are many other things, but the gun nuts are the ones who say,
but the gun nuts aren't doing this.
It isn't the guns.
That's the thing. The gun nuts aren't doing this. You know, Jethro at the gun show isn't going into the school and doing this. The militia guy is not going into the school doing this. The NRA member doesn't go into the school and do this. It's some kind of loose cannon every time. It's somebody who either didn't have access to the guns on their own, so got them somewhere else, got them on the black market. Or however they got them, it's not the person who's like a patriot going and doing this and saying, I'm doing this, to save the country from tyranny. It's not those people. That's what I'm saying. Everybody keeps blaming those people. It's not them that's doing this.
The NRA made it possible.
They didn't make it. They didn't
sure they
do
did.
This.
They've made it so possible.
But nobody from the NRA does this. The kids in Columbine weren't NRA members. Tell me which NRA member has done a school massacre or even shot somebody. Just name one.
Anyone. No, that's we're running a little bit long.
Check us out in the archives. Oh, wait, you're already here because this didn't air live in our tiny little 1 hour slot. I mean, what kind of
mealy-mouthed jerk gets an hour. What can you really say in an hour, man? We just get warmed up after an hour. Anyway, this has been the Movies Hate You show. Mr. Ree, Lee Peter, thank you for joining us, or still co-hosting us, or whatever you are, and Mr. Todd.
Thank you.
Thanks for not being here, because we had a really nice discussion without you about you.
Thanks.
But you can see that, you can hear that in the archives.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be hearing it when it's live, and then if it gets too crazy, I just pull it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, it doesn't air when it's supposed to, or it doesn't show up in the archives. You got to give this guy, Todd Sheets, an email over at Jackalope and let him know you're angry.
That's right.
And if you like the show, send us some emails,
yeah,
right? We want to hear. We want to hear.
You at gmail.com.
Naked pictures? You want to send some naked pictures to us?
No, oh, naked pictures. Send us pictures of your guns.
Naked gun pictures.
Yeah, no, your arms, you know, guns.
Yeah. All those guns, the pythons.
The pythons. Yeah. Show us your guns. Yeah. MoviesHU at gmail.com.
Very nice. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
All right. Hate you all. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She just got